Father, we give thanks to you for your word. And we ask now that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we may hear your word and obey your call to us. Amen. Amen indeed. And can I say from the off, thank you for that reading, Carmel. That absolutely made the scriptures come alive. And the scriptures are alive. And that just sounded phenomenally alive. So thank you so much for that. And the way you read that kind of leads in to a prayer that I want to read for you today. Traditional Anglican that I am, I'm going to read a prayer out of the Green Book, a prayer that is set for today. Stir up, we beseech thee, O Lord, the wills of thy faithful people, that they plenteously bring in forth the fruit of good works, may then be plenteously rewarded through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. So this prayer was written in 1549, by the way, I'm a real church history geek. And it was written to be read as part of the service on this Sunday of the church year. The last Sunday of the church year, in fact. And it was written... Is this broken? Tell you what.
Hello?
I'm on. So it was written that we might read it and hear it and digest it on this day, the last day of the church year, so we would start off afresh the next church year having been stirred up. If you listen to that prayer again, stir up, we beseech thee. The idea being that we would hear that prayer, respond to that prayer, and come the next church year, be fully up for it, be ready to go, stirred up, ready for a new year, so that that year will be better than the last year. Stir up Sunday, as the day is known to be. And I'm not going to lie, in a lot of ways, it's kind of fallen flat. In all honesty, for most people, if you ever hear the phrase stir up Sunday, certainly for people of a certain age, it makes them think of Christmas puddings and Christmas cakes and what you do on this day of the year. Families even coming together to make their Christmas cake for what will be happening in the next month. Absolutely brilliant, laudable, amazing thing to do. We love a bit of family time, we love a bit of cake, but that's not what it was intended to do. This particular week of the year, this Sunday, was intended to stir us up, ready to go for the next one. And as I say, it's fallen flat. Even within the Anglican Church, though that prayer is still read, we've kind of dropped it a bit. In fact, in more recent years, on this day, again, Church History Geek, we celebrate a feast called Christ the King, where we remember Jesus as King. Again, fantastic thing to do, but we drop this prayer. And this week I've been trying to ponder why that is. Why is this wonderful prayer of stirring us up at the end of a year, going into a new year, kind of been kicked into the long grass a bit? And to be honest with you, the only conclusion I can come with is because we've prayed so much and it haven't flipping well worked. How often is it that we go into a new church year and, well, it's the same as the year just gone before, or the same just gone before, or even worse than that, we're worse off than the church, the year that's gone before? How many stories when it comes to the end of a church year to you about falling numbers, people going down, and, oh, somebody used to do this and that, and they don't do it anymore, or somebody's died, and now we don't do that, or anything else it is? And I suppose it's only human and natural to relegate this principle of being stirred up. But I also believe, fundamentally, God still wants us to be stirred up. I believe fundamentally that God really wanted us to be stirred up in 1549. Heck, I believe he wanted us to be stirred up even before then. I believe he wanted us to be stirred up last year. And I believe he wants us to be stirred up today as well. God wants to stir up his church, and I'm going to say this in faith, that next year when we look back, we will say, you know what, this year was better than last year. More people have come to faith. More people have been healed. More people have been delivered. More good things have happened. More people have been encouraged. More people have been set free. That is what we want to see. Am I right? Yes, come on. So, we want to be stirred up. But I suppose the question I've been grappling with for this week, and honestly grappling with, is why haven't we before? Why, essentially, don't we want to be stirred up? What stops us from getting stirred up? And there could be a million and one reasons why that might be, but I think God laid on my heart at least three challenges to why that may be. The first being, we don't know how to stir. I'll say it again because my accent is going to be, we don't know how to stir. It sounds silly, but in my house, I'm not allowed to stir nothing. I am absolutely useless. I was saying at the back there, my mum would say that I haven't got what you call life skills. I can't change a tyre. I struggle to change a light bulb. And when it comes to cooking, basically Liz does it. I wash up, but I confess I mess that up as well. I really struggle with it. The first time I had a go at this stirring malarkey was when I was in college, pampered youth as I was. And Liz and a few other people tried to teach me how to make a pavlova. Very advanced for a beginner, got to be honest. But I was told straight off, it's really simple. You get this electric whirly thing. What do you call it? A mixer, thank you. And you stick it in and you just keep it there, gently putting in sugar. By the end of it all, there was this white stuff splattered across every, you know, surface that you can imagine. And I was just told, oh my goodness, you really don't know how to do this. Yep, that's right, I'm a 30-year-old man who ain't got a clue. Don't worry about it. Same goes for other things. Any kind of sauce, gravy, whatever. I have ruined more pans than you can imagine. Literally, you could shake a stick at. I ruin them really easy. And everyone looks at me, my mom, Liz, everyone goes, how on earth did you do that? It's really simple. You just turn gently. But no, I make things stick, get things up on the wall. I mess up on it. I, Kyron James Rees, gave you my middle name, don't know how to stir. And I think so it is for God's church sometimes. We don't know how to get stirred up because we've either not seen people get stirred up, we've not been stirred up ourselves, or in the case of me, when somebody says to me, can you just do that for a second? We're scared to get stirred up. Now, on the first Sunday I came here and I was in the evening telling you a little bit about myself and my background, I told you about the church that I came from, where we had a fantastic worship group, we had stories of healings, we had people often speaking in tongues, people with their hands in the air, and people falling over. What I didn't tell you was, I hated it. Because when I was a kid, it petrified me. I couldn't get my head around it at all. I literally didn't understand it, and I wanted to run away from it as much as I could. I loved going to church, and I loved that church. I loved playing with the kids. I loved Sunday school. I loved going for communion when I was allowed at the age of 12, when the bishop confirmed me. I loved all that, but this kind of business, it really freaked me out. And my dad was even worse. We'd get home, whatever, and he'd maybe come to church on a particular Sunday, and he'd say, Beth, that's my mother, what's all that about? They're all there saying this, that, and the other, speaking in tongues, and they tell you what they're getting from Tesco for their shopping. What's that all about? He literally didn't get it, and neither did I. And I tried my hardest, for much of my teens even, to run away from it. I went to churches where there'd be no danger of that kind of thing happening. I was fed by God, and they were wonderful places. And if anybody said to me, can I pray for you? I'd go, oh, I've got to go somewhere. Sorry, I'm just running out the door. Because I was scared stiff of it all. I was scared of the Spirit stirring. I was scared of the Spirit moving. Because I thought it was a scary thing. Little did I know, when I got to my early 20s, that it wasn't. And in fact, one day I was in church and somebody said, can I pray for a friend of mine? Oh, Kai, can you come and help? Didn't know that I was petrified all this. But I'm also a mirth about it. I'm not going to back them. Yeah, I'll be there. Don't worry. I'll pray for him. Not me. Him. And so, prayed for him. And then they turned to me. Can we pray for you? I'm trapped now, aren't I? Go on then. And they prayed for me. And all of a sudden, it made sense. And I had no clue why I was so scared before. I felt this warmth of love that I can't explain and put into words. I felt this wonder and awe of who God was. I believed in him before, but this was something else. And straight away, I got just how good God is. I ran home about half a mile to a mile up the road. My mother's cooking Sunday lunch, and she just looked at me and said, you've been prayed for, haven't you? Because I had this glow about me, and he went down to my running. I was just glowing with this radiance like no one could put into words, because I knew that God was special and good, and God had stirred something up in me that was wonderful. And the only thing I can liken it to was falling in love. When I was a kid, girls scared me. When I was a teenager, girls scared me. When I was in my 20s, girls scared me. Girls always scared me, and then I met Liz, and I wasn't scared anymore, because I'd learnt that love is a good thing, and it's a natural thing, and a wonderful thing, and it's exactly the same of the move of God and his Spirit. When we feel him moving us, stirring us, it's not scary at all. It's wonderful, it's exciting, it's exhilarating. It's immense. You know, today I came here carrying a lot of my own burdens, if you like, feeling a lot of lack of focus. And as soon as we started worshiping the Lord, I felt clarity come, because I knew I was singing with the angels, the archangels, praising the name of the Lord, worshiping with heaven itself. And that just brought such a peace upon me. And it's wonderful. And I'll say to anyone who's really struggling, perhaps, if you've come to church through life and thinking, oh, my life, somebody's off again speaking in tongues, or somebody's got their hand there, that's not for me, no way. Give her a pop. Give her a go. Let yourself be prayed for, even, if that's the case, and see how wonderful it could be. Learn how to be stirred, and how to stir as well. May the Lord teach you in it all. So that's number one reason that I've got. Number two reason is, we don't stir up because our equipment is broken. Now, Liz is an amazing cook, and she's an amazing baker. And for all of us, me and the boys, every year on our birthday, she bakes us a wonderful birthday cake. Like literally something you can get on Cake Boss or something. And she invests time and effort and literally hours and hours and hours making a cake just for that moment when you sing happy birthday and you see it all. She's really gifted. I'm not. She cooks, I watch. That's the way it works. But this one year, when we were rushing a bit, I forget which kid it was she had to make a cake for, a disaster befell us. The Kenwood wouldn't work. Oh, my life, what are we going to do? Of course, I pipe up, easy, innit? We've got a wooden spoon, just do it our way. Apparently, that's hard. So, we had to come up with a solution. We couldn't stir up, we couldn't make the cake, because the equipment was broken. And in churches, that is exactly the same. Sometimes we don't get stirred up or allow ourselves to get stirred up because we can feel broken. I don't know if it's like you. I can only speak for where I've come from. But it always amazed me how many God-fearing or alive Christians couldn't step foot in the church. How many people believed in the Lord, but couldn't come to church because of hurt that had happened in church. They felt broken. It could have been that a leader has come down too heavy on them. A leader's oppressed them. It could be someone else has oppressed them. It could be that somebody said something that really hurt them. It could be that somebody said something unwise to them and hurt them. But for whatever reason it is, they are outside of the community, made themselves an exile. In some cases, a leader might have even said, you know, we like you, we love you, but you're not really welcome here. These things do happen, and they hurt people, and they break people. I got this feeling that here in this town, there's a lot of people who love the Lord and believe in the Lord, but don't go to church because they are broken. And if you're broken, it's hard to get stirred up. And you know what? It's true if you're broken in other ways as well. Because brokenness comes in so many forms. You can be spiritually broken, but even when you're broken in yourself, you can feel spiritually broken. This last couple of weeks or so, I've been carrying around a certain anxiety over my health. And you know what? I found it really hard to focus on the Lord. I found it hard to focus on the job at times. I found it hard worshiping the Lord, because when I started, my head was taken to this thing. Have you ever tried praying or reading the scriptures when you got flu? It's not easy at all, because you're broken. You can't connect with God. And I think that these things are an absolute scheme of the devil to prevent us from coming to know God. You know what? Sickness, illness, every kind of disease that there is, every awful thing, and even man flu, comes from the devil, not from God. Anything that can prevent us from following and worshiping the Lord can break us. In the last week, I felt quite broken. And I confess it's a little bit of it still going on, but I felt really, really broken. However, last Sunday, I went for prayer. Last Sunday, somebody came and shared a word of knowledge with me. Last Sunday, I came to the rubbish service, which was anything but rubbish, by the way, and I saw images and pictures that just spoke to me about hope and love and what God is doing, and I didn't feel broken anymore. And I was able to focus on God and on what he was doing. To answer the conundrum of what did we do to get that cake made, we borrowed my mum's Kenwood. And sometimes when we feel broken as people, we need someone to stand in the gap for us. We need people who are willing to pray for us. When we've got the flu, when we feel down and out, we need people to pray for each other. When we feel broken by life, carrying anxiety, we need people to pray for each other. When we can see that somebody is hurting, we need to pray for them and even share these words of knowledge that come through the Spirit to them, because that is what helps them and that is what sustains them. There's one thing me and my amigo Hannah Bunting have in common, and that is we love church family. Church should be a family. This place should be the best place to have a laugh. It should be the best place to have a cry. And it should be everything in between. And just like in a family, if I'm poorly and I'm not washing up that day, which is my normal job, Liz does it. Or the boys might help out. In families, we stand in the gap and help each other in practical ways. And in God's kingdom, we need to stand in the gap and help each other in spiritual ways as well. Be there for each other and truly be that spiritual family. One that goes beyond who's doing the tea and coffee rota, as good as that is, or who's helping cook this week, or whatever else that is. Be there for each other and pray and intercede for each other. And in that way, continually allow God to speak so that those who are broken are healed and goodness comes. And I can tell you now that in this week that has just gone, I had some wonderful news. And I got in, I clung on to it because people were praying for me. I still need help though. I still need it and I'm still broken. But I know that people will love me and pray for me. And that is so important. When we feel broken and our equipment is broken, just borrow someone else's spoon. And it will really make a difference. So the third reason why perhaps we don't allow ourselves to get stirred up, we can't be bothered. Now, as I say, Liz is awesome at making cakes. She really, invests in it. She will look up designs and all this kind of thing weeks in advance. She'll go out and get the stuff. She'll really think through what each of us would like. Then she will dedicate a day, days at a time even, in making this thing. Me, I don't get it. Can we just pop down to the supermarket and get a caterpillar cake? In my head, that makes more sense. Kid's going to eat a cake anyway. Cake's a cake. Come on. But you're saving money. Making your own cake is an expensive hobby. You're saving time. You save heartbreak when it all goes wrong. And that does happen as well. If anyone watches the Great British Bake Off will tell you. Why on earth can't you just go down the supermarket and buy one? We'll all sing happy birthday. The party will be good. Everyone's happy. But we don't. Because I know Liz will say to me, watching one of us, when we see that cake, see all that investment come off, makes it worth it. Sometimes we don't stir things up because we can't be bothered. Because the easy course is to pop down the supermarket and get what we need. The easiest course for us is to say how we are, to stay the same. And why not? This church is awesome. It's a cracking number of people for a cold night. The heaters aren't even working, for goodness sake, but still people have come out. Loads of churches don't have that. Great worship band. He's got a good beard. Something nice to look at. You know, and he can sing. It's brilliant. I know that, if you want to be prayed for, you can be prayed for. It's a good church. Actually, we can say to ourselves, why bother? Things are going all right. Money could be a bit better, perhaps. Building could be a bit better. Lovely, we'll get a few new heaters, but we're ticking on okay. We're not desperate. Things are going good. We don't need to be stirred up because, well, things are all right. But of course, we also know in our hearts that God wants to do more. That actually, God wants to fill these side pews, or dare I say one day, even chairs. God wants to fill them all up, and he wants to have more people come in. God wants to pack this place out. But that takes the effort. That takes the sacrifice. And that is the hardest thing of all to want to do. Investing and sacrificing for these things. One of the most honest women I ever came across was a woman called Barbara Sauter, lovely woman, an elderly lady who was praying one day in a small house church meeting, about 8 to 9 people in this church, about how she was just happy the way things were. Because everybody in that house church knew each other, everybody trusted each other, and she was happy because for the first time in her life, she felt like she belonged. Her genuine fear was introducing more people to that church and disrupting what they had. What I liked about her honesty is she was saying what loads of us think. We're happy the way things are. We're content with knowing each other, knowing what we're coming for, knowing how things go. We're content with all of that. If you ask pretty much any church in the land, what do you want to do? They'll say, we want to grow. Question is, do you really want to grow? Because if you really want to grow, if you really want to see more people come to faith, more people discipled, more people healed, then actually that takes a heck of a lot of sacrifice. It takes time, it takes effort, it takes money, it takes heartbreak when things go wrong. It takes so much out of us. We always talk a lot about revival in the land, and we think, well, revival just happens like that. It doesn't. Revival and moves of God come because of people who are willing to sacrifice. Sacrifice their time in prayer. Sacrifice their time in speaking. Sacrifice their time in going out to tell. Sacrifice their time in praying, feeding, doing things for those who are in need. Sacrifice the way that they do things for the other. Sacrifice speaking to a friend who you haven't seen for a week or two on a Sunday morning because somebody new has come into church. Sacrifice a cell group because somebody else wants to come in. Sacrifice all of these things. The question is, are we willing to make sacrifices for the kingdom of God to grow? Are we willing to make sacrifices so that people will come to know the Lord? That is a really hard thing. There's a church in the town where Liz comes from, Clevedon, just outside Bristol, which was really struggling. And they said to each other, what do we like to do? And what they really liked to do was chant in their morning worship. But they made a decision to stop doing it because they recognized so many people outside the church might not like it. They did, and the church grew. It didn't grow massively or anything like that, but they grew. And they grew because they were willing to make sacrifices. You see, this whole business of Stir Up Sunday sounds really nice. Stir us up, we beseech thee, O Lord. But actually, it's hard. To be stirred up is a real challenge to us all. It's really, really difficult. And each of us needs to make a decision individually if it's something that we want to do. And we as a church, we as an LMA in fact, need to make a decision on whether it's something we want to do. Are we honestly happy with where we are, or do we want to see God move more? Do we want God to allow us to be stirred up by him? And if so, are we willing? Are we willing to learn how to be stirred if we're not used to being stirred? Are we willing to make those sacrifices? Are we willing to be mended if we're broken? And are we willing to get alongside others who might be broken as well? God is on the move, and he always has been. Since 1549 and beyond, he always wants us to be stirred up. The question is, are we willing to be? I'm just going to pray that prayer again before I continue in prayer. And I'm just going to ask you just to concentrate in your spirit on these words. Stir up, we beseech thee, O Lord, the wills of thy faithful people, that they plenteously bringing forth the fruit of good works may by thee be plenteously rewarded. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I wonder if I could invite you to do one more thing today, and that is, can you stand up for me, please, if you're able? And I'm going to pray a prayer of stirring. And if you're willing to be, let your heart say you're willing to be. And if you're not, that's absolutely fine as well. Okay, so I'm just going to pray, and then I'm going to hand back over to lovely Lindy. So, Father God, we give thanks for your word. We give thanks from that reading from Colossians, the stirring reading of the reality of who we are, who you are, and who you are to us. We give thanks that you left your throne in heaven above to come to us, to be born for us in poverty, to die for us, and to be rise again for our salvation and the gift of eternal life. We give thanks for the truth of your gospel. We give thanks that we are saved, that we are redeemed, that we are forgiven. We give thanks that you send your Holy Spirit upon us, and we pray that you would fill this place with your Holy Spirit this evening. We pray that you would fill this place with your Spirit and you would stir us up. We pray that you would stir up this place with your Spirit. We pray that we be stirred up tonight and in the year ahead. We pray that we be stirred up to see a difference made in this town and in this community. We pray that we would be stirred up to see more and more people come to faith through you. We pray that we would be broken, mended where we are broken. We pray that we would be healed where we need healing. We pray that we would be forgiven where we need forgiveness, and we would forgive others where we need forgiving as well. We pray that we would learn how to stir. And where we're scared of accidents, where we're scared of mistakes, where we're scared of getting it wrong, you would fill us with your grace to know that that's okay as well. Lord God, stir us up with your Spirit. And Lord, I pray that you would just power us with your Spirit to move not only in this church, not only in the 5 churches of our LMA, not only in the churches of this town, but throughout this town. We pray for over this Christmas season that more and more people would come to know you. We pray over this year ahead, Lord, may you move in this place. And we pray against all the schemes of darkness and the evil one. Protect this place, we pray. Protect it in every way. And may your Spirit move upon us. And I just want to say, if any of us here are suffering from anxiety, Lord God, just heal our anxiety now and cast it out in the name of Jesus, your Son. Cast it out, we pray, and bring forth your plenteous fruit in this place. And all God's people said, Amen. Thank you all.